John here, and we've got a new sponsor, DistroKid. Now that you've finished your latest Pirate Math SpongeCore Twitch track, it's time to get it out there so everyone can hear it. DistroKid helps musicians get their music on all the major streaming platforms, and artists keep 100% of their royalties. And because you're a high-gain listener, you get 30% off. Just go to distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. That's distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. And now DistroKid has an app. The DistroKid app is available for iOS and Android. You can download it at distrokid.com/app or in the app and Play stores. We'd like to take a minute to thank our pals over at Isotope, makers of software and plugins for audio repair, mixing, and mastering. The new gold standard of audio repair, Isotope RX11, is coming in May. Buy RX10 now on sale and get RX11 absolutely free when it's released. We use Isotope products here at the High Gain. It's an important part of how we've been able to bottle pure podcast gold week after week. High Gain listeners get 10% off using the promo code FRET10. That's FRET10. That's all at isotope.com. IZOTOPE.com.
Hey, it's me, Ed Peterson.
Hi, Ed, it's me, John Kiltico.
John, it's the High Gain Podcast.
Yes, High Gain Podcast.
John, we talk about guitars.
All the time.
Jangly guitars.
Jangly.
Exclusively.
That's right.
We record in beautiful West Seattle.
Washington State.
Yeah, still sunny, still lovely out.
Yes.
Are we officially in spring? I don't know.
Warm weather.
Yeah.
Spring or not. Although, anecdotally, I am a little concerned, Ed.
Oh, no. What's the matter?
We have a camellia tree in our yard that we just love. It flowers a couple of times every year.
Mm.
Big red flowers with yellow centers.
Yep.
It's a tree.
Sure.
It's lovely. Usually the first flowering will be about mid to late May.
Yep.
The flowers started coming out in late February.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you hear that scientists are reporting that this is the warmest winter in ever.
They say that every year. Right.
This is the coldest winter of the rest of our lives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Our neighbor has a cherry blossom tree.
Oh, did it come out already?
And it's already out. And then it's weird because we have another neighbor with the cherry blossom tree and there's not a leaf on it. There's two trees and they are behaving very differently.
Yeah.
That also seems weird to me. Is that an old guy thing where you realize like trees are doing weird stuff?
I was out for my walk. You know, like, I go buy stamps.
Yep.
And then on the way back, I pick up dog food. And that tree, you know, the one, the tree, it was doing that thing.
Yeah. We need more character work. People love the characters. Johnny Rickenbacker. Have him call in real quick.
Oh.
Ring, ring.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, Johnny Rickenbacker over here.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, you know, you're talking Rickenbacker over there.
Yeah? You have a question?
What?
See?
Rickenbacker's out of Rickenbacker, California, right?
I believe so.
And yet, his accent, is that the classic California over here?
Yes. I've got a Rickenbacker today.
Yeah.
That's matte black.
It's rad.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a Mastery?
Yes. I had a different Rickenbacker.
A 360.
A 360. And I traded it to Uncle Frank for this matte black 330. Before I did that trade, I took the Mastery off my other Rickenbacker and put it on this one.
That's a good idea. I'm more a 360 guy. I like the 360. But if it's Jet Glow 360 or whatever they call this, matte glow, it's pretty sick.
The 330 black, not the matte part, is what Paul Weller would have played in the jam, and I'm a kind of big Paul Weller fan.
I think the 330 works better for John. I'm 360.
It's got a mono output.
That Ricoh sound, sure, it's cool, but who uses that ever?
I'm not going to use that.
No.
And the regular dot inlays, I like the step down in fanciness.
Beverages.
Beverages, Ed. It's got that jangle, doesn't it?
It does. They do that. What year was your 360?
It was 97.
I suppose that's vintage at this point.
This one, 2024.
Yeah, this is cool.
One owner, me. Brand new from Rickenbacker, California. Because Uncle Frank and Company.
Over there at Thunder Road Guitars?
Yes, thunderroadguitars.com.
Proud sponsors of the High Gain Podcast.
Yes, use the promo code HIGAIN10 to get 10% off anything you might buy.
That is awesome. Ask for Uncle Frank.
People do.
Do they?
They do. I think I was talking to one of your listeners. How do you know? He called me Uncle Frank.
That's so good. He's like 35 or something.
Yeah. I have black coffee in a George Washington University mug.
Shout out to Lauren.
Lauren, my lovely niece, is fixing to graduate.
Okay.
And I've got this pop culture soda. This is probiotic soda.
Of course.
Strawberry and rhubarb. Mm-hmm. And apparently it is fizzy and gutsy. It's fizzy, juicy, tangy, tarty, gutsy.
Great.
Damn.
I never worry about my gut health so much.
You're missing a vital piece of the puzzle.
Your constant attention on your pre and probiotic game makes me worry about my own gut. My biome might be all fucked up.
Well, you know, you maybe don't have to worry about it.
Oh, yeah?
If you're basically a trash panda in human form, maybe you need to maintain some things down there.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if you're Ed, you're probably fine.
I don't know. I'm worried. I'm wearing a Huel shirt.
Look at you, brand ambassador.
Accidental. And then I've got this Huel protein shake with Huel. I've got to keep my protein levels up. 1 gram of protein per
day,
pound of body weight. So whatever you weigh.
I might as well swallow a whole chicken.
Chroma, cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Chip, stable. No one has yet replied with a offer to send us another Chroma, which is fine because I'm not going to break it. I don't want to accidentally shake the wrong hand. The other day, I'm on a call. I'm sitting there. I'm working. I'm multitasking. I got my protein shake. I've got the little thing. And I go to shake it. And I had forgotten that I pulled the lid off and I just sprayed protein shake. People did get a chuckle out of Ed being an idiot.
Rickenbacker is still owned by the Hall family.
The Hall family.
Hall family, yeah.
I think if you had asked me who owned Rickenbacker, I would have said Rickenbacker.
He did when it was called Electro String. Mm-hmm. We had one of those like acoustic electric.
With the weird spelling.
Yeah. He sold it to F.C. Hall in 1953.
A little while back.
Yeah. So what's up with F.C. Hall?
I think he's a great dude. I think his family are holding the line on the Rickenbacker thing. Oh, ship to Indonesia? No. We're going to make everything in our plant, and them going crazy is...
Matt.
You know, they're not introducing 20 variants every year. They've got their guitars. They make them the same way they've made them since the 50s.
Yeah.
I love it.
They are in the same plant.
Yeah, right.
Santa Ana.
Yeah.
And they are like 2.5 years out. It's interesting. They do not up the output.
Right.
Here's how many we make. Here's how many we can do.
Right. And that number doesn't really vary year by year so much.
I can see them priming retail channels for something like this. It's like, okay, this is going to be a new colorway. People are going to be interested. We better plan to make more of this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, F.C. Hall, born in 1909. He's an Iowa boy.
What's he up to?
F.C. Hall? We lost him.
1909 to
1999.
He has a couple kids?
Yeah, his son John Hall, and now his grandson Ben Hall. F.C. Hall's family split Iowa and moved to Santa Ana in 1919.
Okay.
Can you imagine? There must not have been a whole lot of anything around there. And there wasn't. His father owned a store, a small general store. Nothing but farms and things around there. As a kid, F.C. worked in the lima bean fields.
That's great.
To make money. And developed an interest in radio and electronics early on.
Of course.
1927, our man F.C. starts his own radio repair service. He called it Hall's Radio Repair. He's born in 1909.
18.
Yeah. So he was recharging people's batteries back in the day when if you lived out in the middle of nowhere, your radio was going to run off some old-timey battery. So you reconditioned the battery and he'd bring it back. He'd work on the radios themselves. And that business, such as it was, just kept growing. I guess this guy was a hustler.
Okay. He's in the hustle culture. I love it.
Child of the Depression, make your own fate. He started getting into anything that was even remotely related to electronics.
That's awesome.
When he wasn't busy collecting string and tinfoil with all the other Depression era dudes, right?
Have we ever talked about Aunt Minnie?
You have. She was in Iowa?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Her and Uncle Earl were the two Depression era people that I knew and actually spent time with. They had Depression era habits. If you were of age and aware of what was going on, those habits did not get burned out of you 60 years later.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to order one cup of coffee in the restaurant and then share it. We're going to pour a bath and maybe just let that sit. Let's not do that, Minnie. Drain the bath and maybe pour some new water in it, please, weirdo.
Well, as he grew in the business, making his own way, mm-hmm. he changed the name in the late 30s to the Radio and Television Equipment Company, RTEC.
Yeah, radio and television.
Or Radio Tel. And they started distributing, among other things, Hawaiian guitars and amps. Because that was popular then. He could fix the amps. He could fix any amp.
Sure.
Where was he getting the Hawaiian guitars and the amps to distribute?
Was he getting them from the Chicago Boys?
No. Some new upstart. Leo Fender.
Okay.
F.C. Hall is distributing for Leo.
Okay.
Then in 1953, Adolph Rickenbacker sells ElectroString to F.C. Hall. And it would take a while to convince F.C. to actually change the name to Rickenbacker. He felt like he had so much equity built up in the brand name of the radio and television equipment company, he didn't want to confuse the market.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, he finally relented.
The 360, the 330.
Yes.
What year are those guitars introduced?
The 300 series?
Yeah.
58.
Okay, so when he buys them in 53, are there like iconic Rickenbacker? Or is it all just like lap steel and...
Mostly lap steels. They didn't really get heavy into the solid body stuff.
Yeah.
Couple few years later. And those existed under the umbrella term Capri. Kind of like that tulip shape.
Oh, yeah.
Where the pedals go outward.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are Capris.
Okay.
And there were multiple models. In general terms, the solid body development ramped up once FC took over.
You think of the Rickenbacker brand. Maybe not none of it, but kind of none of it comes from the Rickenbacker line.
No.
It all comes from the Hall line.
I think it's kind of a combo plate there. F.C. Hall definitely knew how to market things, and he was a hustler.
Yeah.
But also by 53, rock and roll is starting.
Right place, right time. Buying in 53.
Yeah. 53, rock and roll's coming in. All of a sudden, who's this Les Paul guy and what's that he's playing?
Right.
And what's Leo up to over there? If anybody would know, it would have been FC because they were buddies.
Right.
What is that? I call it a Telecaster.
Right.
Huh.
Wild.
This is where it's going. And on top of all of it, the kind of popularity of the Hawaiian lap steel style music.
All. Yeah.
It started waning.
Right.
Rickenbacker would still make lap steel guitars. They weren't going to stop doing it. But FC realized it was fading.
Smart dude. Shout out.
So you want to hear this thing?
You've got 5 knobs.
Yes, all controlling 2 high output pickups.
You were playing another guitar and then you picked this one up and you had to turn everything down.
Yeah.
It's a screamer.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's got 22 frets or 21, I guess, if you're counting the metal things. It started out as only 14 frets, but after years of feedback from people, they changed it to 21.
Was the body the same size?
Yeah. You want to hear it?
Yes.
The thing that's different here that gets some people is the four knobs controlled by the pickup selector switch. It's opposite.
Yep.
The two further away from your face are volumes, and the two on top are tone. So as necky as I can get. The fifth switch on this is ostensibly a neck pickup volume adjustment. The intrinsic volume of the neck pickup is greater than that of the treble, the perceived volume.
Mm-hmm.
So as you turn it,
yeah.
It lowers the volume without affecting whatever it is you've set the master volume to.
So it's probably more useful in the middle position.
Yeah. So that's all the way up. You can get it to blend however you like with the back pickup. You want to hear the treble?
Of course.
There's that sound. And back to the middle. Now let's use that blend. The interesting thing is I'm not moving the volume of each of the pickups, but by adjusting a little boost or not on that neck pickup, I get additional tonal options.
Put a little fuzz on that.
The way the cutaways are shaped on a 330 is called the crescent moon.
I understand. Back of the neck. Is it painted? Yeah. Looks awesome.
Let me ask you something, Ed. What is the best-selling Rickenbacker model in their, let's say, modern era?
I would say the 330 would be my guess.
You would be correct.
Yeah, because you want a Rickenbacker. Ricco sound? No one's going to use that.
Yeah.
I'm very unsurprised that that is the best-selling Rickenbacker.
I couldn't be happier with the less fancy 330. It just kind of fits me better.
Yeah.
As an idea, and of course it sounds like a Rick. You know who plays these things?
The Jam.
Yep, Paul Weller of The Jam. The Edge of U2 has played these.
Sure.
Peter Buck has any number of Rickenbackers.
Yeah, I think he's more a 360 guy, like you picture him with 360s.
Johnny Marr of The Smiths.
Dude has a billion guitars.
Yeah, first two or three albums were all the 330. You guys should look this up. I found a great video of him talking all about it.
For sure.
Pete Townsend, of course, loved him the Rickenbackers. Really loved smashing them also.
I don't know. Do I waffle on smashing guitars? Maybe I'm sort of anti. You know, there's the like rock and roll idea of smashing a guitar. But even Cobain, it got to be part of the act where he was bringing on import Fenders and that's what he would smash. And that is a very staged, rehearsed thing.
That's the distinction that I'm not too into.
Yeah.
You know, the cover of London Calling?
Yep.
Paul Simonon is smashing that P bass.
Yep.
Something that was going on during that show had him very frustrated, and so he took it out on the bass. I'm not necessarily advocating having a hissy fit and smashing your instrument, but it was a spontaneous kind of reaction.
Right.
It wasn't a stage-managed thing.
Exactly. I've only seen Pearl Jam once, and MacReady smashed a guitar, and it was like Oh, that thing still has plastic on it. Why is he playing that? Oh.
You know who designed this, the 300 series?
Roger Ross, my son.
Nice.
My man.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the German carve.
It doesn't.
But it's got the like indent at the tailpiece. He couldn't get away with not doing some flair. Roger Ross, my soul. Oh, we lost him, didn't we?
Yeah.
He liked to party. He was back in Germany when we lost him, I think.
After Rickenbacker, he went to Fender, designed some stuff there, among them the Coronado.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do so very well. Ended up borrowing money from Leo and just kind of flaming out.
He had trouble.
Moving back to Germany.
Yeah.
Living with his mom.
Yeah.
And working in a department store.
I don't recall that little bit of trivia about Raj.
Yeah, I believe he died in 1974. Kind of a young guy, maybe.
Yeah. He had some hits.
Yeah, he was doing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, so, I could not find the price.
Yeah.
In 1958. I did find a price for 1966.
Oh.
8 years later.
Weird.
But I will tell you also this. I did reverse inflation calculation.
Oh, from there to 58?
Yeah.
Okay.
And came up with an approximation. So we're going to put the little tilde thing next to these numbers. That said, how many 1958 dollars, approximately, are you paying for a 330?
$330. And the 360 was $360.
About 300.
I think $330 for the 330 is probably spot on. I would bet the 360 is closer to like, maybe not 460, but like 420, 430.
That could be.
I'm feeling comfortable with that guess.
It makes sense. How much do you think that is in today dollars?
More than this guitar is today. Today, it's $2,000, right? $2,900?
$3,200. They have more than kept up with inflation, especially if you're buying a fancier model.
Yeah. It's bigger than the 360, or am I wrong about that? It feels bigger.
The edges are squared off,
whereas
the 360 rounds over.
Yep.
Which could make it look smaller.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You gotta try it. Try and decide. Is it hello or goodbye?
There are lots of guitars that are blackhead.
Mm.
This one's matte black.
The best.
It's less fancy.
Uh-huh.
It's a Rickenbacker.
Yes.
That carries with it all of that history.
Right.
The Rickenbacker Matte Black 330. Buy or deny?
I'm going to speak from personal experience here, John.
Yeah.
Deny. I had, past tense, a 360.
Yes.
I'm a big Peter Buck fan. I think he's amazing. I bought that guitar thinking like, oh, I'm going to play REM riffs on this 360 guitar.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm not actually going to do that. So, Matt, awesome. I also like the 360 just better than the 330, but I think Rickenbackers are awesome. You could bring in a matte black Fender Jazzmaster. That is like one of my favorite guitars to look at, and I hate playing them. This is probably in a similar camp where I just don't feel comfortable playing the Rickenbacker, so I probably would be a deny.
Right.
If I were going to buy one, I would want Jet Glow. If it's Jet Glow or matte, you want matte.
What about the little guy, the 620?
Love him. That in matte, 100%.
Yeah.
I guess we can ask you, buy or deny.
Yeah, bought. Buy or deny, bought.
And you play. You play the Rickenbacker. You're wearing a Superman shirt today.
I am wearing a Superman shirt today.
You are a sucker for comics. I don't know if people know that about you.
Yeah, it's funny because for anybody not picking it up, no, I am not. And so for me, this is ironic.
What is Superman's alter ego's name?
Dave?
Come on, you know.
Alter ego?
You know, when he's not Superman, when he's a reporter.
Oh, Clark Kent?
Yeah. Legitimately, I wasn't sure if you would know that. Pretty good.
We'll take lots of pictures of this. And you guys can make up your own minds.
You can take pictures at your leisure because it'll be just hanging around the house. That'll be nice.
That's right. Yeah, we'll put them on Instagram like we do. Mm-hmm. So you guys can all see.
Yeah. We're still proud members of the Ruinous Media Network of music-related podcasts.
And how? Those guys are good to us.
Yeah.
We're really happy to be a part of that. Do you want to come back and do this again?
Yeah, I think we should. What are we coming up on? Are we coming up on 6 years?
Coming up on 6 years in a matter of weeks.
Oh, that's wild.
Let's do it.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.